Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Heavenly Places with Jameer Spencer. Welcome to the program, Jameer.
Hello, hello. Welcome, welcome. How are you doing, Dorothy?
I am doing well. And you are well great. As well?
Yes. Yes, I am blessed. I am blessed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm blessed. I haven't done a show in a while, so I'm glad to be back online on a blog talk to see where the Lord will lead us down this journey.
Mm-hmm. Me too. Me too.
Yeah. This evening, I just kind of wanted to talk about a couple of topics, maybe because I've seen so many videos about it. And just information about, actually, I would like to talk about two different kind of topics. Elon Musk, and he has bought Twitter. And also, I want to talk a little bit also about the Russia and Ukraine war that's going on right now. Those are kind of the two things I want to focus on this evening as we talk about Heavenly Places. I know that doesn't really sound like any Heavenly Places, but it's just so much stuff that's going on in the world these days with the vaccine, with the wars, and things that are going on in governments around the world. I just thought these two things were two things that we could start off as we re-kick off the show to focus on. And one of the scriptures I have pulled up is from Daniel chapter 12 verse 4. Daniel chapter 12 verse 4 says, I'll read the King James version. It says, "But thou, O Daniel, set up the words and fill the book even to the time of the end, and many shall run to and fro, shall increase." And this right there to me is so amazing because we have so much knowledge increasing. I mean, knowledge is growing and doubling and tripling basically every day, and it's had a crazy effect on us as people, because we can just consume just about all kind of knowledge or information at the fingertip of our hand. With the invention of the smartphone, we basically know what's going on the other side of the world within maybe 10 minutes or less, you know, sometimes a couple of hours, you know, depending on what they really want us to know or not, you know. But we're getting like instant images of videos of things from the war, basically front line. And I know that's been going on for some time, but it just like kind of like multiplied. And you know, it's almost like we're kind of like in the action of it, or in the midst of it. We can almost see play by play, the exception is that we sometimes, depending on what you listen to, you get a whole lot of commentary on it that is not truthful. There's a whole lot of reporting of information and facts. We have the knowledge increasing, but a lot of people are end up being deceived. They get wrong information, or they get wrong commentary, and they kind of come with that with false facts, information. Misleading information. I'll get to that one later. All right. The first thing I want to kind of talk about is Elon Musk, because the information kind of goes with this Twitter thing also, but also really I think goes with what's going on with Russia and Ukraine. And I just wanted to read off some like little cool, interesting facts about Elon Musk that I thought was interesting as I was been learning more about him, because I kind of heard of him like a couple years ago, but I really didn't pay attention to it. You know, I heard about Tesla and this car that he had invented, and that's kind of basically all that I knew about him. But within this last year, especially these last couple of months, it's just a lot of information to take in. But just some of the little light things. So like when he was 12 years old, he invented a video game. a fighting video game. At 12 years old, and it was actually in a magazine. Some of the other things he did, I mean, he really has made a lot of money with Tesla. And actually, he almost, I probably think he should have did it, but maybe not. It wasn't probably a good business idea, but he could have actually, he was thinking about selling Tesla so he could buy Google. And so we know Google, they're notorious for with all their algorithms and their information as far as moving a lot of information all the way to their back pages, where it's kind of hard to get to them, hard to find. You know, after people usually go to the first, second, third pages, they don't really want to search back all the way to the 50th page and 60th, 70th page and all that. Also, one thing that's interesting about it, after 2 days, you know, he dropped out of Stanford. He dropped out of Stanford, one of the most well-known colleges when it comes to, like, technology, information, feedback. He made cameo appearances on The Big Bang Theory and The Simpsons. Of course, we know about him and the SpaceX, how he basically allowed it where, I don't want to say regular citizens, but those with a lot of money, they can actually travel to space now. And if you have enough money, it's not just for the astronauts anymore. We've seen movie stars, different types of celebrities, even those who can afford it actually into space. And his space uniforms, he's just so innovative that the uniforms that he has created, you know, you see like the little clunky ones that NASA has in comparison to ones he had created. They're more sleek and slender, and they sort of, I guess, they do the same function, and I think NASA might actually try to implement as much of the design as he's been able to do or accomplish. He's actually quite – he's intelligent. I guess when you think of Elon Musk, if you're familiar with like the Avengers and Marvels, like Iron Man, he's like an Iron Man from the movie or show. He's like this really rich, very inventive entrepreneur. And that's how it's almost like Elon Musk is like the – real life Iron Man, except he, of course, his technology, the things that he has invented is not on that level. So he just seems like a kind of, I don't want to say he's a regular guy, but just like some of his life experiences as he has grown throughout the year, he seems like just a regular, ordinary person that people can relate to. And recently he used some of his money to purchase Twitter. And we know that the former CEO, well, there was a lot of censorship going on, even though Twitter did not admit to that, but they said it was a lot of censorship going on from certain people who had certain perspectives, like such as Donald Trump. He was one of the people who actually was banned from Twitter. I want to say I thought they said he was banned for life. I'm not sure. But also another person who was, he actually said that he was shadow banned. You might be surprised with this one if you ever know the rapper or heard of the rapper Ice Cube. He was actually shadow banned from Twitter for some things that he had mentioned or said. We have a lot of people who were, they were just kicked off or banned, maybe it was because of political views, where they stood on certain issues. Most of it was basically related to politics, but they ended up getting either banned from Twitter or shadow banned, is where you still have access to the Twitter, but if someone searches up your account or username, they have a difficult process of finding you. And once this purchase was made, a lot of people were either given access again, or they said that the shadow ban was removed because they can now search and find themselves quickly. And Ice Cube, he was one of the ones that expected. And one of the interesting things about Elon Musk, and I don't have the quote right before me, but he actually said that he wants to offend the far right as much as he wants to offend the far left. So he's going to discriminate equally. You know, he's just not going to be focusing on one group, but all groups. So he is saying that basically it seems like most of the people are not far left and most of the people are not far right. It seems like most people are somewhere in the center, you know, like center right, center left, right left. But most people are not far, far right or far, far left. Most people, I would say maybe like 80% of the population, so particularly here, particularly in the United States, at least that I can speak of, I would say that they're kind of like, well, maybe it could be less than that, but I would say that most of them are kind of towards the center right, center left. But a lot of people who are far left are really kind of upset with this move of Elon Musk. We have people who are threatening to quit and threatening to do the other types of things within Twitter. So we have this battle, and mainly what the battle is that we have Elon Musk and we have the far left and the far right and the people in the middle. But the main battle is issues down to free speech and censorship. You know, what can you say? This is one of the things that the founding fathers of the United States of America, this is one of the things why they left Britain, our mother country, where this country comes from, is because they wanted the ability to say things against the team without basically being able to voice their opinion without fear of maybe losing a job, or even worse, fear of being executed. And we here in the United States, thankfully, no one, at least that I know of, is at that level where if you say a certain thing, you would get killed. You know, I don't think it's that way. And now it has been, some people said they have lost their jobs because of what they said about their stance on vaccines, you know, and their stance on the government as far as politics, Democrats, Republicans, and political parties, and libertarians, and all those types of people. And those who are all socialists, some of them said that they were have been receiving some type of speech limitation. But a lot of it seemed like a lot of it has been going up as far as people who have their free speech as a lot of conservatives who basically was having, in a sense, having their mouth taped where they said certain things, and it seemed like it was kind of slanted from one way to the other, even though by looking at television and watching the news, you would, I guess, realize that most of the American country is actually, for the citizens, more conservative leaning than leaning towards the left. So that was one of the issues or problems with Twitter, is it didn't really reflect some of the average American citizens. Not everyone has different varying opinions. Some people may have things that I seem left, or they may have things that they are see on the right, and vice versa. But sometimes some issues can be very confusing because a lot of things are not all black and white. They seem kind of gray, so the gray as far as the issues. But Elon Musk, what he has done, he's basically, in a sense, given conservatives a chance to have a free speech or equal opportunity, which is something that I'm very much in favor of. I have a Twitter account, but I probably have not used it in years because I have other social medias, and I only have so much time, so I can't be on all of the social medias. So, but Elon Musk, I believe, he's kind of like a wild card to me. Dorothy, before I say anything else about him, do you want to say anything about him?
He's hard to figure out, I think. It's almost like he's one of those old-fashioned liberals who are into limited government interference and, you know, has basic good values. But I know the proof is in the pudding. We'll see as it goes along.
Yes, yes. Yes, it is early. It is early in the game to see what's going on with him. Because with me also, I would say that I'm also with limited government action as far as like limiting what they can do and say, you know. I would say, I don't want them doing it like the free speech and controlling what I can, even though I don't necessarily use Twitter, but I would use like Instagram or Facebook, you know. But one other thing that kind of really concerns me about Elon Musk is, he's really into technology. He's very, very innovative. I mentioned earlier that he was like the real-life Iron Man. But he's invented this I guess it's a computer chip that can be implanted into the brain, and it's called the Neuralink. It's called a Neuralink. And he is saying all these things as far as you can download your brain or conscious onto this chip, and then you can actually load it, or this is his vision, you can load it up into a robot, or you can live forever, you know, in a sense. That's what he's saying his future is for this particular Neuralink. But they tested it on some animals and pigs and rats and things like that, and a few of the animals, they died from the experiment, but some of them, you know, they lived with it. Actually, there was one individual. He doesn't have the Neuralink, but he has something similar to it, and he was having vision problems. And with this type of computer chip that it can access your brain, he was able to see clearer. You know, his vision, like things that he was not able to see before because of this computer chip implant. I guess it was able to send signals to his nerves. And he was given clarity, a clearer vision of it. But the only thing is, he mentioned, you know, one time that his computer chip had got hacked, and it kind of like messed with his vision. But the weird thing was, he said that he liked it. So that right there is kind of crazy, because they're saying this chip, his ultimate goal is like to help people who are blind. And in some of these things, they sound great and wonderful, you know, for people who have not seen, who have not having vision problems. I mean, this device, this chip, it sounds like something very, very wonderful for mankind. I mean, who wouldn't want to see? Who wouldn't want to hear? Or get rid of autoimmune diseases and things like that by put in a chip in here, but I guess this is one of those catch 22 situations, because if they can create it, you know, and put it in someone's head, it's always someone who's controlling those things, and depending on who's controlling it, it could be a good person, you know, running the algorithm, creating these algorithms, controlling it, or there could be someone who has different types of motives, you know, if they can control what someone sees and they can control what people hear, maybe they can put extra thoughts in the person. They may have almost like a God type thing speaking through them, speaking through their head. You never know what people's motives are. And it's very, very scary, because the Bible actually prophesied in Revelation that, the Bible does not say anything about computer chips. It doesn't, it's nothing in there specific, but it just says that no one will be able to buy or sell unless they take the mark of the beast. And this is in Revelation. And it says that the reader understands the number of the beast is 666. But it says it's going to be, it's got to be something physical, because it's either planted, it says it's on the forehead, or on the hand, I believe it's the right hand. So it's got to be something external. Maybe it's like something similar to that chip, but it's something that almost like a tattoo. You know, they always upgrading to make technology better. So, but anyway, the Bible says whoever gets this mark, they're going to be eternally damned. You know, it's going to be nothing that they can do to save their soul. And I'm wondering why that is. And I'm just thinking, this is not anything from the Bible, but I think what happens is once people take this chip or the 666, whatever it is, some type of electronic tattoo, that it's going to do something to their brain or program their brain where they can't even repent or turn to God if they wanted to, you know, because the chip, the program, the algorithm will not allow that to happen. So that's not necessarily, I guess, nothing against Elon, but that's like just something he created. Sometimes we have people who create things, and they just create it, and then someone's evil comes along and says, oh, I can use this technology for that. Just like I think when the fireworks were created, and then someone said, oh, let me see if I can turn this into a weapon, and then they invent a gun. You know, so just people always are, I guess, the motive of the person, man's heart, you know. Determine technology. So that right there is one thing that kind of, I guess, concerns me about Elon. Well, it's really concerning about the technology, but I'm concerned like where Elon stands on this. Like, what does he think about that? And I heard some interviews from him about Jesus, and I think he said he does believe in Jesus, but he kind of also, during the interview, he sounded like he wasn't really, really sure. So I believe he was kind of like, some people are raised Christian. They are raised reading the Bible, raised learning about our Father and Jesus, but they don't understand truly what it means. That's why we have a lot of people in the world today who have a false idea, false understanding what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a believer. Even Gandhi, the great Gandhi, I'm not sure if he was great because of some of the things he did, but one of the things that he said was that he probably would have been a Christian just from the teachings in the Bible, but he couldn't be one he didn't want to be one, but because of lifestyle and things he's seen, those who said they were believers. were living or how they were living. But of course, if you research and look into his history, he was not a very stellar person either. But Dorothy, you have anything you want to add about the chip?
Yeah, the chip thing is interesting because, like you said, there are so many good things that could come from it. You know, that's this thing with scientists and creative people that, you know, have a good heart. They create these things and then someone takes them over for nefarious uses. We learn that from history. So definitely, I don't like the idea of having a computer chip in my head, personally. But that's what kept me away from drugs when I was a teenager. Don't mess with my brain, man. You know, just don't. Yeah, because there are a lot of people, they're saying that they're using, you know, doing a lot of technology to help, like, paraplegics, you know?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, there are times I've been having spinal issues, and there are times when I've said, I could use a good exoskeleton, you know?
Exactly.
But, you know, too many bad things can happen with it, so.
Yeah.
What can I say? I agree with you. Yeah.
Yes, it's just so, whenever you get man involved in it, it's just too many things for me that can go wrong with it. Of course, there are things we have to kind of trust people and we trust, even though, I mean, we had to pray for our food, but we trust what we get from the grocery store and things like that as best as we can to eat those. You know, there's a whole lot of GMOs and all kind of other stuff that's approved by our government that should not be in our food system. Like, why would you put that in a box of Lucky Charms? What does that have to do with anything? But it is a point, like, we're okay. We're because we're in this world, because it's a fallen state, we do have to, in a sense, depend on our fellow man. And our Father, Heavenly Father, he wanted us to have the community. He wanted us to depend on each other. He wanted us to learn from each other. But because of man's heart, and, of course, the enemy, Satan, who deceives us, it's just that we got a whole lot of problems. I guess it was from that one, I'm going to switch over to talking about this this war that's going on in Russia. Of course, you know what the Bible says in Matthew 24, verse 6, it says you're going to hear a wars and rumors of wars. And this right here is not really a rumor of wars. It's really a war that's going on. And we have innocent people, like regular civilians, they're unfortunately being a victim of it. We have a lot of believers, pastors, but also just people who they might not be saved, which is even worse, because if they lose their life, and they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, then not only do they die once, they die two times. So you have a lot of civilians who are losing your life. But when you look at the news, you see this big bad man Putin invading Ukraine, and you got Ukraine like a country that seemed like Russia would just run over. Because their army is just so much powerful and so strong. But we see for the news, we have like the president Zelensky, that him and his army, you know, it seems like they are fighting. It's almost like when you're watching the news, it's almost like a David versus Goliath. Like, man, how's this guy, this president used to be an actor, and he's up on the front line. He's wearing these military suits, and he's down there in the trenches with the people and trying to do what he can, and he's on TV begging for help, and he's able to survive against this big Goliath of an army. But something about it is like, it just does not make sense about it. I mean, it's like, it sounds like a good story, a good story, like the underdog, you know, winning, but that's not the whole story, because when you begin to see some of the other news sources, well, it's not really what it's cracked up to be as far as Ukraine. That it seems like there's an innocent person watching the news, but actually in reality, they are not innocent. Actually, they've been actually destroying a lot of their own citizens, and they've been, in a sense, using their citizens as, at least from my understanding, they've been using their own citizens as shields, you know, so when Russia comes in, and they're the people, everyday people like me and you, walking around or trying to escape the country, you know, being used as human shields in this conflict between Russia and Ukraine. And then you begin to research and find out more about this Zelensky guy, and find out that he was actually, I guess he was over here from some time in the States. He was an actor, but then you see some of his videos, and you see the people who's behind him, who's supposed to be like his, I guess, guard or whatever, and you see like this military weapon, like a gun or rifle, and it breaks in a certain way, and when you it breaks, like it falls apart, and the way it falls apart is like, if it was actually that type of weapon, if it was a real weapon, it would not fall apart like that. It's almost like it was like a toy or like a prop. The guy had from it, and the camera caught it, you know, the camera breaking, and you seen him try to fix it in the background. It, like, it wasn't happening, but the camera is too late. The camera had already recorded. But it's a lot of, that's one of the instances of many that that was caught on camera, almost like it is something staged. It's something staged. We also have Putin. So Putin is being painted as a bad guy in there, but actually some people said that he actually has a different role, and that he's actually the good person in it, in this thing. Which me personally, I'm torn on it, because it could be like some of my past, or like Russia's bad, you know, the USSR, the Soviet Union. And I know eventually one day from Bible prophecy that it says that Russia will eventually invade Israel, or be one of the nations that invade Israel during the battle of Armageddon prophesied in Revelation chapter 16. But of course we're not there yet. We're not nowhere near that. So this right here could actually be where Russia could possibly be the good person in a situation. It could possibly be that, but I'm just not totally sold on it yet, because that Russia did invade Ukraine, but they was, I believe, instigated by NATO, because NATO had agreed back after World War II, NATO agreed that on the border of Russia, that those nations would not be allowed to join NATO, because Russia wanted a border between NATO, which is basically Eastern Europe and the Democratic Europe. They wanted Russia wanted like a separation, so they feel protected. It would almost be like like Russia or Soviet Union, like the Cuban Missile Crisis, when they was wanting to put the missiles over in Cuba, like, no, don't put those things there. We're going to attack. We're going to have war. It's similar to that type of situation, except Ukraine was wanting to join NATO. That's one of the things. Ukraine was wanting to join NATO, but NATO was not ever going to let Ukraine join them, and Russia didn't want to take a chance of them joining, so they want to go ahead and invade. So that's one of the other stories there. So you have all these stories, and you're trying to find out, well, which one is true, which one is false. So we have a lot of information. We have a lot of disinformation. Recently, the Biden administration, they actually created a new position in a government called the Ministry of Truth. Ministry of Truth, like someone who's, it's like this committee, and they're supposed to all get together, and they're saying the government is going to, instead of being reactive, they're going to be more proactive with controlling information, you know, but I believe they already have been proactive, but this is like a step further, you know, that they can be even more controlled, even more iron fist. You know, a lot of the things that we don't like about Russia, is we can actually see it being played out in our own government. We just don't realize it, or we just don't want to see it. But we're having a whole lot of information control, particularly concerning this, a lot of things, almost everything, but even concerning this this war. We have some American citizens, they're going over there, and some people are like, we have missionaries going over there helping people get out, like regular citizens get out the country and food and things like that. But I even seen cases where some American citizens, they wasn't military, but they actually went over there and they got involved in fighting. You know, they fighting the Russians. And they're now part of our government as far as like the Navy and the Air Force, but because what they were seeing on the news, like, oh, this president who just a regular ordinary Joe who was a famous actor and all that, he if he can fight, then I can go over there and join him. So we have these news media, they're kind of like playing on our emotions, and some people, they take it to the extreme. They're taking it to the extreme. So they're going over there and they're losing their life over a deception or over a lie, you know, which is very, very sad and very, it's extreme. But then we have people over here who may not actually join the army, but still like children need to go over there, but they are losing their well-being. They are losing their health. They're so concerned about this war that they are losing in other ways, and it's affecting like the economy and everything. It's like boom, 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 boom. But it's all, I would say the majority of it is a lot of false information. And then we have what they call the Ukrainian Nazi, this bit over there. And they are some of the ones who are actually, instead of them being Ukrainians and helping their own citizens, they're actually intentionally killing their own people. So it's like you already got trying to get away from the Russians, but now you're trying to get away from your own people who are supposed to protect you. So it's just so much wrong things going on in Ukraine, and it's sad because a lot of regular citizens is just basically losing their life over this. A lot of us here, we're just kind of like losing our emotional well-being, which is bad, but what's going on over there is horrible. I mean, babies. We got babies over there, toddlers, in the middle of a war. And, you know, of course, war has been going on a lot, but this is the one that, that our media is kind of focused on because, of course, there's always wars going on. They don't never stop. Wars going on in Africa and all the time. You know, every time I watch some news about the continent of Africa, like, I always see different countries within Africa fighting each other. And it's very sad because a lot of times you have these governments that are just controlling everything, but the regular citizens, the regular people, is the ones who was always the ones who are forgotten. We're always the ones who overlook because we have greedy people running these countries, running these nations, and they're just so war-torn and after confusion, but they're doing the same thing that they see their father, the devil, doing. Yes. So, Dorothy, do you have anything you wanted to say about the war or the information as far as being released to the people?
Oh, I have a whole bunch. Let me see if I can remember it all. If you look at Ukrainian history, back to 2014, our wonderful elite politicians started using Ukraine for money laundering, and there were like 30 bio labs there, creating nice cocktails they want to release on us, like this other one.
Mm.
And Putin did bomb those, and there is one that's underground that he has sealed off because the people wouldn't leave. So he said, okay, we'll seal it off and see what they do, and we'll let them out when they're ready. Zelensky, as an actor, played a president. And he is installed. He was installed by our wonderful political elite. And we all know all the money that the Biden crime family has obtained from Ukraine. So there's so much there. And did you see the video? I don't remember if I sent it to you. About they were trying to film a bunch of dead people from the war. And there was one in front. You know, they covered them with blankets. There was one guy in front that couldn't quite get comfortable who was supposed to be dead, and he kept playing with the blanket. So.
Wow. Yeah.
And then the missiles they say that the Russians are launching happen to be missiles that we have sent them because missiles have these numbers on the side that identify what they are. So someone found that out, you know. I love Telegram because we can see these things, you know. And lately Putin has been trying to have a peace contract, and the Ukrainians aren't interested because, you know, our government wants to push this all the way to World War III. They father will not allow that, I do not believe. But, there's a lot going on with this war that is just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Just unbelievable when you can get news from other sources other than America, you know?
Yeah.
You can go ahead. I'm not sure about Trump in this situation because he has been like, well, this would have never happened under my watch. So I don't know if he's fully aware of what's going on, because you got to wonder how much information he has access to.
Yeah.
But I did hear that he asked for any information Putin gets on the Biden, which drove the lefties nuts. I love to see the lefties go nuts because they're so harmful and hateful and they do so much damage. But yeah, I went to shopping. And as I'm checking out, I'm asked, do I want to contribute to the Ukrainians? And I looked at the girl, I said, I don't think I could do that because it's their government that's killing them on purpose to make the Russians look bad. You know, didn't daunt her at all. She was totally undaunted. Just, you know, looked at me with that blank stare they get, you know, and finished checking me out. But
Well, the thing that's it's so hard because if you only focus on one type of news source, then you're not going to get the true story, you know. You're not going to get the true thing. And you're just going to believe whatever they're saying. You know, they just like spoon feeding you poison. Basically, I mean, I don't want to say poison, but
well, it
false
is poison. It's poisoning the mind. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And then you just have the wrong world perspective. You know, you think our government is perfect, you know, but the things that they have done, you know, is, I'm not saying I'm perfect, but our government officials have a whole lot of blood in their hands. You know, they have a lot
yes,
of blood
do.
In their hands, you know. And,
I have to say, it's not my government.
Yeah. I believe, though, things are going to be changing within the government. So it's not all bad news. It's going to be a battle. Of course, the enemy, the prince of the power of the air, he controls the air, like the media, the airwaves. But I believe there's going to be some type of switch that happens, and I believe actually it's going to be one of those situations. You know, the enemy, he is always falling for his own traps. Like the Bible says, we recently had Resurrection Sunday, and it said if the enemy had understood what he was going to do, that killing the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if he knew it was going to release people from, like, Abraham's bosom, and it was going to bring all these people into the love of our Lord and Savior, into his kingdom of God, that he wouldn't have done it. You know, so I believe he repeats his patterns, and his things right now that he's doing and he's using people to do. And I'm not saying it's going to happen all over the world, but in some places it's going to be where he basically is falling into a trap that our Heavenly Father and his minister and angels have set for him. It was designed or whatever to happen that way, you know. And he's not going to like the outcome of it. And those who have aligned themselves with him, they're not going to like it either, you know. So I believe some good things, but it's going to be a fight. People need to keep on praying.
It is. It's a spiritual fight. And, you know, I listened to a few prophets, and one of them just phrased it very nicely, said the fox is in the trap, and he's chewing his leg off to get himself out of it.
Oh, wow. I like that one. I like that one.
So, yeah, our Father is moving. If we, mm-hmm. I mean, we're supposed to know what the enemy is doing. We're supposed to know his machinations, but we're not supposed to focus on it. You know, we're focused on what Father is doing, and he is moving. And if you look, you can see it.
Yeah.
But you're not going to see it if you're all focused on the enemy, you know?
Yeah. I believe the Lord is a Father. He's preparing the world for a great revival that's coming. A great revival is coming throughout not just America, but to all the nations. And he's preparing his people, and that's one of the reasons why we had all of these things, even with the virus and all that kind of stuff. Actually, it was a prophet. His name was Bob Jones. He prophesied, this is many, many years ago, that when the Kansas City Chiefs that won the Super Bowl, that there was going to be a great revival. And during that same year, which was a couple of years ago when they had won the Super Bowl, there was this event that this organization is called The Send. It's called The Send, and they were supposed to be having this, basically they were going to fill up the Chiefs Stadium, Arrowhead Stadium, with all these people from all over the United States, like all these preachers like Francis Chang and all these people. They were supposed to be coming and preaching that same year. But anyway, it got delayed, and actually it's going to happen this year. It's called The Send. If you want to look it up online, I don't have all the information for me, but it's supposed to be an all-day thing where they focus on the gospel and preparing people and sending them out. And it's actually happening this year, and it's happening in Kansas City at Arrowhead Stadium where the Kansas City Chiefs play. But their hope is, it's an international organization, their hope is that they would have a springboard, that it will go from Kansas City, because the people, not just from the United States, but it's like this is like a big time international thing. And they're sending people all over to Kansas City, and actually it's May the 14th. And I believe it's just like a small seed that's been planted, and for this great revival that the enemy, he did not want to see many people come into Christ, but it actually kind of backfired on them because it stopped a lot of churches from doing like the churchy thing, what they have been doing, and like, oh, we need to really focus on God, but then it also caused a lot of people in the world to be like, the focus, like, okay, I need to figure out what's going on in this world, because what's been told to me, and all probably what I thought is really not true, and I don't know if we had that much time, you know. So it kind of, that's one of the other things that has backfired on him, and I believe that with a combination of a whole lot of other elements, that we're going to see a great revival from China to Egypt, Israel, places in the Middle East, and here also in the United States, Europe. I mean, I can name many countries, all the seven continents.
Yeah, you can see it building already, the revival. Look at, let me see if I can remember his name, Mario Murillo with his 10th revival.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's got humongous crowds.
Yes, he does. I've been seeing and hearing his testimony about these things that are going on. And he has a lot going on, Mario. Mario Murillo does. So I'm excited about it. Well,
had you heard that the elites had planned a release of another virus or whatever in September?
I have not heard of that one. I'm gonna have to look that one up.
I think it was No, I think it was, I think I heard that from Robin Bullock. He said it's also been stopped by the prayers of the people, you know, that have been fighting in this battle.
Okay. Yeah, we do not need another one of them.
we don't, because so many people, you know, before this vaccine came out, Father had given me that seeing. It wasn't a true vision, but I saw all the dead people from the vaccine. And it was, you know, horrifying. You know, I prayed against it, of course. But, yeah, we don't need another one. And I think the big pharma and deep state took advantage of Trump on developing this vaccine. I think he really doesn't understand it's not a vaccine.
Yeah, he doesn't have a whole lot of knowledge about that because he hasn't really done a lot of he did some good things, you know, but that's one of the things he's not really knowledgeable.
Well, he's
about.
Not a scientist. Yeah, he's not a scientist. And when you grow up with vaccines, you think they're okay. You know, if you've never had any kids with side effects from them, you think they're okay.
Mm-hmm.
But this isn't a true vaccine. It really isn't. But anyway, that could be a whole nother program.
Oh, yes, yes. I had to do that in one of the other ones. Well, I guess I will stop right there for today. And we can do another one next week. I had a prayer to see what our Father wanted to talk about. Maybe that could be it. I don't know.
Yeah. You let me know what the topic is, and I'll try and write a description.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I think that's the hardest part of doing the show.
Are you writing the description?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in. And listening, I guess I close out in a prayer. Father, we thank you for your goodness, grace, and mercy, Father. Continue to lead us, guide us, and direct us. Give us wisdom. Give us understanding and clarity. Help the people in the world, Father. Help our brothers and sisters, oh, Father. Help all the nations, oh, God. Draw them towards you. Help the people who are in turmoil, oh God, Lord, throughout the nations of God, Lord. Ukraine and Russia, not just them, but the other countries that are experiencing conflict, God, Lord, in Kashmir, in India, Taiwan, Father, Colombia, Father, Lord, the things that are going on in South Africa, God, Lord, in Sudan, Father, Lord, it's just so many countries I can name, Father. Direct your people, guide us, and direct us and strengthen us, Father. And, give us good rest, give us good peace. And let us be led by comfort of your Holy Spirit. We ask all these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jameer.
All right, thank you, thank you. And I will talk with you next week.
Okay.
I'll talk to you before then, but I'll talk to you. We'll talk to the people next week.
Okay. Sounds like a plan.
Right,
Father bless everyone. Good night.